Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back. Floggy, how are we doing, mate?
Oh, yeah, mate. Doing well. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. We are here for another Teamless Tuesday for round six, hoping to help our NRL fantasy coaches create something special out of this continuous chaos, mate.
Yeah, look, it's not too great. We do have a couple of returnings, but probably more fiascos, more so than anything.
Yeah, we predicted it earlier on in the year when we had our big chaos week in round three, and we said there's a chance that this is going to be the flavour of the year. And we're in chaos round two, and people are struggling to field 16. Some people are struggling to field 15. And then we get three trades next week.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a rough old end of the season, I think. We were just talking about it just before about how many trades most people have got left, and apart from that first week where I held true for the first time, I think, in my fantasy career, max trade for me apart from that first week. So, and I could have used the third trade this week as it is. So, how about yourself?
Yeah, look, what am I at 29? So I've saved three trades so far.
Okay.
So I've only got one locked away for this week, and so I'll save three. I haven't quite max traded, but geez, it's been tempting.
Yeah, it's definitely with this week, a few of those key outs kind of forced my hand quite a bit to try and field at least 17. I think I've actually gone a bit luxury and got 18 at the moment, but we'll see how we go.
Ooh, fancy. Now I'm looking particularly straight off the bat. I think you've got it. I think someone like Eero, and we'll talk about a couple of other guys around that same price as Eero, but someone like Eero is very, very tempting. Are you going to start Eero? Eero?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's one, so I'm happy to. Literally, I've traded the guy that didn't get named this week in Talagi to Eero because why not? So it's still a cash down by doing it, and it gets me enough. I was one of the unlucky blokes to have Garrick on the weekend, so allow the Talagi to Eero cash down allows me to do Garrick to Mane. So I think it's a no brainer.
All right. Well, how are we going to run through this tonight, mate? We're going to go 5 minutes tops on teams, keep it real short and sweet.
Yep.
Want to talk about some cheapies, particularly around that wing fullback center position at the moment. Want to talk about the 400K halves. And I want to talk about some of the guns and captains that people should be targeting this week.
Yeah, cool.
Easy peasy. All right, cool. So for the Knights, nothing particularly interesting. Dylan Lucas, though, is named in the second row. For the Roosters, you just mentioned him there before. Joey Manu is back at fullback, which is quite an interesting one. Angus Crichton is named to start, and given his price in the 400s, with a 23 break-even, I think I saw earlier today. Let me just double-check. 442 with a 27 break even, so he looks very tempting to get into teams. And that's pretty much it in terms of relevance. Terrell May is probably one that people are going to be concerned about, given he didn't get many minutes last week. But if the rumor holds true, it's because he had COVID, so hopefully he bounces back this week. Storm and Dogs, there's not too much there on the Storm side that's worth mentioning. Probably the biggest thing is that Joe Chan's actually in the reserves rather than in the 17. So if you're waiting for him to be fit, he's now fit and he's still not in the side. As for the Dogs, the ones that are relevant are Curran and Salmon. They're still available. Sam Hughes, after getting big minutes last week in a try, is back to the bench, and Burton had a big score last week but still needed a couple of tries to really get that going. Outside of that, Carraz is probably someone that we need to talk about a little bit later on because I'm a bit worried about his scoring at the moment. Broncos and Dolphins. Broncos have got nothing there to report. Corey Oates is on the wing. Nothing else matters. Still no Payne Haas. And BTK
Fullback.
Oh, yeah, Walsh is back at fullback. That's probably... Is he fantasy relevant, mate?
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. It'll always be that way. Yeah. I think so.
Dolphins players. Herbie's out. Flegler was named, even though he looked like he got smacked in the shoulder. Ray Stone's at 13. Josh Kerr is quietly making some good cash for owners that have jumped on him. Warriors and Eagles. Warriors, nothing there of note, apart from the fact that Sean Johnson scored really well, and we'll come back to him. Tamari Martin got a 60 playing his first game. For Manly side, Burbo is in the centres. Cherry Evans had a good score last week. And I don't know whether Waddell is worth a shout, but the fact he's starting is always interesting, especially if you're playing draft. Eels versus Cowboys. Probably the biggest thing for the Eels is that Bailey Simonson's on the wing. And that Blaze Talagi has dropped out of the 17 altogether. So that's going to be tough for people who got him in last week. He looked like a really good prospect. Unfortunately, as for you already mentioned, you're trading him out as well. And for the Cowboys, Tom Chester at that, I think he's about 350 price off the top of my head. I think it's a little bit higher than that. He's possibly an interesting one. Yeah, 350 price. Should get that center spot for the rest of the year. No one's going to take that off him. So it could be an interesting one there as well. Who else have I... What other teams am I missing? Phones just stopped working, Floggy.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly bring up the next team. You're right. I can run it through.
There we go. Thanks, man. What do we got? Jai Gray at fullback. That'll be an interesting one. No Cook with Mama Zealous. Now, if this happens to stay that way, Mama Zealous could get some really good points. But who knows if that's how this team runs out on game day.
Too scary, too much going on over there to pick anyone new there, I think.
I think it's almost a case of avoid all bunnies at the moment. For the Sharks, Iro is someone that looks like he could be very good. The problem with this side is that there is every chance that Iro by the 24-hour team list isn't even in the side because they've got Rudolph and Hamlin Ueli in the reserves, and they could push onto that interchange, forcing Talakai back to centre. But Hazelton looks like the other winner for now in that front row. Cameron McInnes is another one that's probably going to score quite well. For the Dragons and the Tigers, not really too much of note in that Tigers side. Safe Arthur starting for anyone that picked him up. One particular there, though, I think is Yutua Kamano. He looks like he's scoring really consistently at the moment. I think he's gone 350s in a row, and he should get big minutes with that bench as well. As for the Dragons, Zach Lomax, people were hoping he'd be named at fullback this week, but maybe after last week he does spend a bit of time back at fullback. Eisenhuth continued to get named in the 13, even though he doesn't start there. And it's probably it for them. For the Raiders, now, there is a lot going on in the Raiders side, and in a way it's starting to get really tricky to fit them all in, but Chevy Stewart is at fullback. He should get 6 to 8 weeks back there. Ethan Strange is doing well. Tomoko is probably one of the best centres in the competition at the moment. Danny Levi keeps hitting his break-even, which is good. He keeps making a little bit of cash. And Morgan Smithies played the whole 80 last week, so good on those people that still have him. Unlucky for people like me that just sold him. For the Titans, Jaden Campbell had a good score last week. He's someone that people will probably start to look at and target. Kalis Huss is another one who's been named in that lock forward role. He'd have to be named there again next week. And he's probably looking at DPP as well. But that's all the team stuff. Floggy, there's a lot of cheapies in that list.
Yeah, there is, but at the same time, there's a few worrying signs at a couple of clubs at the moment that you're not sure if you want to really delve too difficult. Just going back to the most recent one you mentioned there, Cleese Haas. I mean, there's three other players who have played lock in that spot, in Randall, Aaron Clark, and Liu as well. So
yeah,
you just, I mean, depending on how that game is playing out, that he's kind of one that's a bit too tricky to try and get someone in like that. So he's, I'd put a line through him. Eisenhuth, he keeps getting named there. You've got Jack DeBellin on the bench. Jack DeBellin is going to, if he's fit, he's starting, or he's going to play the minutes basically of a starter anyway. Iroh is one of the ones, as I said, I've picked him up, but Talakai is on the bench, so who knows what happens there. Jai Gray, a few people have looked into him, and look, he's got some good stats, I think, with New South Wales Cup, but you kind of got to. Latrell's only out for three matches, so if you're going to get on a cheapy wing fullback, then you're going to have to do it this week. But he's kind of a bloke that you want to at least have a look to see how he pulls forward. Well, so I don't know if you can go there.
Talk about that Bunnies for a second, because there's a lot of guys there that we probably need to talk about in that spot, in that team. So Jai Gray, you just mentioned, 3 weeks it's a really tricky one. If you go off his New South Wales Cup stats, he should score relatively well.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is their New South Wales Cup team is performing significantly better than their NRL team. And they could be under the pump the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, it's a bit tricky, but traditionally teams don't go too well when the coach is one foot out the door. So, and on top of that, it's not his spot. He's got no security in that whatsoever. So, he's gone in 3 weeks. And over that time could be well the time where the coach has given the punt. So, it's a real roll of the dice of it. But at the same time, if you're purely trying to make cash and you're up for a quick cash grab, maybe this bloke's going to do it. I don't know. I don't know how rough this week's going to be. The matchup doesn't really suit them too well. So,
And I was going to say, and I think that matchup thing is particularly important because someone like Tyrone Munro, so people pre-season were talking up Munro, almost like he was the bunny saviour type thing, that he was absolute get, that sort of stuff. And he's probably someone that, given the state of that side at the moment, he could actually drop cash, even though he's priced at 350K. Then someone like Mamazelis. Geez, if you knew Mamazelis was starting every week, you'd just about get him. He'd be a great one to turn from Raiders Danny Levi. You could turn Danny Levi into Mamazelis if you knew Mamazelis was getting the starting role every week.
Yeah, but it's again, like we had the issue last week where a lot of us moved on to Lagi when we shouldn't have.
Yep.
Are we really going to want to spend another trade on, let's be honest, they've got Cook sitting there. There's no reason for him to be there that's really that been made public. If JD truly is out the door, the interim coach comes in, the first change that's going to happen is you're going to put your best for interim coaches, they've just got to do a job and put the best players on the field. Cook is not coming off the bench. That's it's ludicrous. So I think. You can't pick him up.
Yeah, I that's where I sit exactly the same. Tom Chester is probably the next cab off the rank at 350K, locked in the centres. Look, I'm not against it.
Yeah,
I know he's only got 34 there previously, but I'm not against it.
Cowboys have a nicer buy schedule compared to others. They tend to get these nice buy schedules every year, actually, now that I think on it. If that's the position you want to fill, especially if you were relying on Talagi last week and you're still in that spot, but we do have, I guess like a lot of people might be looking to move on Burbo, perhaps. He's still got probably another week of cash rises left in him if he maintains that spot in centre. But a lot of people have Strange, a lot of people have Burbo, and that's kind of been how they've been running things so far, so maybe they want to get a bit of depth there, so that's an option. There's a few others that are being aimed at as well in those spots, so it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit tricky. It really comes down to how much cash you've got in the bank and what trades you want to make.
Yeah, so someone like Zach Laybutt, for instance, he has scored 320s in a row, or even if you could take out that Titans game, he scored 220s in a row. He needed two tries to score his 59. So I'd say a 30, 35 average out of Chester is probably pretty much bang on. And I reckon that's about what you're going to get. It's not a bad option because you should also pick up that DPP, because he'll get named there next week. So that should be enough to get the DPP as well.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, it's his spot for now, I guess, so he can run with it and do a good job with it.
Yeah, there's no one taking that off him. There was a bunch of others that I thought we were hoping might turn up. Laban for the Warriors was someone that people were talking about last week, but he didn't. He probably hasn't got the minutes to make him relevant. Xavier Wilson is one that I think we need to have a fairly serious chat about, especially with Saylor on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, if you got him, you got him. If you're not bringing him in this week, so
no.
I think it was just one of those really, really bottom basement starters this year that a few people jumped on and held, and been rewarded for holding him. So he'll do his job and earn some cash. It's pretty. You've got both a smoothie and a Saylor on that bench, so it's a lighter bench. Kobe Hetherington usually sits around the lock spot. So I think he's probably in for some decent minutes this week. But I mean, they've been running to Carrigan ragged, I don't know how much faith they've got in Corey Jensen's tank, but we'll see how he goes with his engine this week. It's a fairly light bench for a heavy starters, and some fairly new ones at that. So it'll be interesting.
Yep. And in the dog side, Hayward and Kautoga probably can avoid at the moment. Just have no idea how this carnage is going to end up with this team running out and things like that, so at least see what's going on there and get a bit more idea.
Not just that, this is not the matchup to be bringing in more dogs into, that's for sure. If anything, people are starting to move away. Crichton back to one is, I think, a nicer matchup, especially against Pappenhausen as well. I think that'll be an okay battle. I think those halves are really going to show which way this game's going to go, and having Munster and Hughes back, he's certainly going to, I think, turn that game into a bit of a wash. So we'll see how we go. But I think people are trying to get away from Dogs players, not trying to bring new ones in.
All right, now the final one in the bunch of cheapies, mate, that I want to talk about, and I almost want to do this as a as Eero versus him, because I think they're your two options.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Chevy Stewart. Now, he's going to get a 6 to 8 week run.
Yep.
Where are you sitting on Chevy?
I think, like, this is where I think this is something we've brought up before, where what you need to do is, if it's, you've got a 50-50 call like this, the tricky part is with Eero, we discussed before, it wasn't traditionally his spot. We hope it's now his spot. We don't know. So next week, it could be exactly the same as what happened with Tulagi, and he's just not there. And the trickier part is... He's not going to make bench. He's out. So he either starts as a centre or he's not there at all. So there's no safety net, I guess, in that type of pick. So it's a bit tricky. But I mean, he's set, the matchup is well juicy for him this week. The whole team's just come off a bye. Their matchups have, they've got Cowboys, Raiders, Dragons, Storm, Roosters and Panthers in that time. If you go to the other side, where what the Raiders have got, they've got a very handy matchup this week in the Titans, but then they've got Broncos, Sharks, Sea Eagles, then a bye, and then Bulldogs, Roosters, Dolphins. So whilst that he's got the spot for 6 weeks, for example, that includes a bye, that also includes a matchup against the Broncos, which is a fairly tricky one. The Roosters are on their way up. Dolphins are up top. And they've also got the round 14 bye as well. So you'd get a round 13 player, but you then lose a round 14 player. So it's a tricky one. I'm at the moment on Eero just purely because that's the spot I had to argue in that spot, and now I'm putting Eero there. But I could just as easily change things up, go the other way, and bring in Angus Crichton instead of Manu this week. But we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
How about yourself, mate? Where do you land with that? That
option? I think, look, I've talked down Raiders players all year, so I'm very reluctant to keep talking down Raiders players because it seems to come back and bit me fairly hard. So I talked down Fogarty at the start. I've talked down a couple of them, and they all keep going well. So I guess there's no reason that Chevy can't do well. The risk with Chevy is Ricky. Let's say they lose a game or two in this 2 out of the next 3 games, then Chevy might miss out on that side. So I'm nervous about him. Eero, I think, is one that will score better.
Yep.
He was the one that we were very keen on in the preseason. So I think if he gets that spot, and look, from last game, he didn't look like he was wanting to give that spot up either. So might be a case of hopefully he's won it. Maybe the advantage here is, and I know it's going to cost a trade, but I'm almost in the camp of going Eero now, and then if that doesn't work, maybe I'll move him to Chevy next week or something like that.
Yeah, and another part too I forgot to mention with Chevy is you've got Weeks, who, if you remember back, he covered Turbo when he was at for a period of time when he was at Manly last year. And you've also got Xavier Savage as well. So they've already
and Seb Chris.
So they've already got three players that have already played fullback in the NRL sitting there ready to go. They've given him this opportunity. There's a bit of pressure on him, and that's the problem with his spot. Yes, he has the 6 weeks. You've got two buyers in that time. And also in that time, only one buy, that it'll be the next buy basically after that 6 weeks, that you've also got that period where literally, as you said, Sticky could just literally go, oh, let's change it up. Wasn't quite working, let's change it up. And there's already three or four other choices that they could go. Sticky definitely has he's pretty well stacked when it comes to cover. This year, probably more so out of any other side, I'd say. He's got a lot of coverage, And yeah, I think especially the fullback, I think he's well covered. So, yeah, I mean, we always have this problem every year with Sticky, where his choices aren't quite where we would choose them to be. So far, it's worked well with Strange. I think we can just thank our lucky stars. We got one right and just move on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. The other thing I want to talk to you about, mate, tonight, I want to talk about these 400K halves.
Yeah. So
there's a bunch of them there. There's a couple that people are trying to get rid of.
Yep.
And there's a couple that people are looking at picking up. So I think we need to talk about them. Flanagan and Hutchinson.
Yep.
Sells.
I've got them on the chopping block next week.
Yep.
Because we also have Galvin coming back. A lot of people held Galvin. He's got a crazy break even and his work rate's great. Strange is doing well as well. Yep. And what we're hoping for is that Cleary will be back next week as well. Yep. Hutchison and Flanagan seem to be doing just enough to not be urgent sells, but they're getting very close to that point. And I think we've kind of watched Flano do what he can do with the side long enough to know he's not really taking that full control of that side. It's not fully relating to fantasy. He's made some cash. That's all we wanted. Hacho made a little bit of cash, but we tried. They kind of worked, kind of didn't. But yeah, look, I couldn't talk anyone out of trading him this week, I don't think. But for me, I just have more fires than that. So they're green dots. So I'll probably look to move on them next week, and maybe take some of these cheapies we discussed after having a look for 1 week, and see how we go.
All right, well, these are some of the other 400K halves that people are talking about at the moment. So Tamari Martin, Dean Hawkins, Billy Walters, and Isaiah Katoa, and up until today, people weren't talking about Arcee, but Arcee is also in that bracket. Now, Katoa's had a fairly good run this year. He's already made 89K at a break-even of 16. He's putting on a lot of good cash at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's burnt a lot of people last year, so I think a lot of people just kind of written him off. He's on the never-ever list and left it at that. Few people backed on again with him and have done very well, but look, Dolphins seem to be up and down a little bit this year, which is kind of working out for him fantasy wise. But yeah, look, he's got some lower scores. Like, he scored 53 on the weekend, but the week before it was only 23. So his scores, he's only played 3 games this year, so I'd kind of temper expectations, but he's, I mean, it's 250s, so he's kind of doing his job. But they've got a bit of an interesting matchup. They've got Broncos, Eels, Knights, Cowboys, Manly, and then Tigers. He's a handy 13, round 13 player, but they've got the 14 bye, and I think a lot of teams are in that spot. It looks like that they kind of have kind of a rough matchup and a good matchup as well, which kind of aligns with where these scores seem to go as well. So I don't know. I just feel like if you're after a half, I'm just not looking at this guy. If you've got on him early, great. If not, I don't know how many 50s you'll have in him. And we also saw in the 3 games he played, he versus the Dragons, Titans, and Tigers. If you compare that to any other side where you would say that's a pretty strong matchup, 57 against the Dragons, only 23 against the Titans, and then 53 against the Tigers. So, I don't know. There was a few circumstances in there as well that contributed to that. And also the Tigers game, that required a try to get to 53 as well. So without that... and a try assist. Without that, he'd be closer to the 30s. So I think he's in the void.
Yep, cool. Dean Hawkins. Now he's got that spot locked in with a fairly significant shin fracture for Lachlan Ilias in reserve grade on the weekend. But does he fall into that just don't touch bunnies players at the moment?
100%. I don't know if you can. Not just that too. Like he's getting 30s.
Yeah.
He's getting 30s. He scored 30 on the weekend. His break even's at 28. Like there's no.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no benefit to it. So yeah. I think he's a move on.
Yep. 100%. Tamari Martin, now he got a 60 on the weekend. He's got a break-even of 6.
Yeah. Look, I've had him as a player before. Didn't do what he did on the weekend. I think there was a few of us who were watching the game going, where the hell was this when we held him either last year, maybe, I think it was, or the year before.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, so he kind of... Look, that kind of came out of nowhere, and it's his first game for the season. So, on a pretty favourable win against a pretty struggling Bunnies side, and yeah, that was stacked with that includes a try assist, that also included line breaks as a part of all that, and there was a lot of tackle breaks, and which again all came from that try. So. If you strip all that back, well, 60 is definitely a very nice score, especially for somebody in the 400s. But if you strip all that back, he's probably closer to 40, which is still fairly solid for his price. But again, it was a very struggling Rabbitohs side. If you want to get him, you need to kind of get him this week to make the most of his cash rise. But yeah, I don't. That was his first run for quite a while. Well, I think we can still afford to have another look before we jump on, unless you really feel like you want this bloke.
Yep, no, 100%. And then Billy Walters is someone who's just starting to make a little bit of cash again. At 470K, he does have that DPP. We have seen in the past that Walters has been able to put a couple of really good scores together.
I think for him, he's basically almost like he's got an okay break even, but he's kind of priced out almost already. So he's got 30s. He scored a 40 on the weekend in what you would assume would be a bit of a tricky matchup, especially without the likes of Haas in the middle there. But he only scored a 40. And other weeks he scored in the 30s and he has scored a try as well. So, look, he's slightly underpriced, only slightly. I don't know. I think there's probably more exciting prospects for you to look at. DPP's nice, but yeah, I don't think I'll ever look to bring this bloke in.
All right, one more in that 400K bracket that I want to touch on, and not as a pickup this week, but I think definitely worth keeping an eye on, and that's Cody Walker. He's fallen under 500K. We know that he can be a regular 50-point scorer.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone that I think is worth watching at the moment.
Yeah, watching. He's scored 30 so far this year, no tries. Basically, there's a couple of tries just in that, but that's about it. But he's in the 30s. Traditionally, this is not where he's at, but this is what happens to one of the senior players in a struggling side. That when the side isn't really firing, and we're seeing a lot of stats kind of not come through that you would normally expect, and that's kind of what we're seeing here. We're just seeing basically 30s across the board. He scored a 12 against the Roosters. He played the full game. So yeah, again, he's one to watch just purely from previous years gone by when he scored much better than where he's at. But most of the times, these were when he had Reynolds to steer the ship. He's now got young Hawkins beside him. He's trying to steer the ship and do his job at the same time. And yeah, I don't think it's too fantasy favourable for him.
Yep, 100%. All right, moving on. I want to talk about Guns and captains. So Guns targeting to get in this week. I think you've got Joey Manu. I think you've got SJ, I think you've got Nico.
Yep.
Am I forgetting anyone?
A crossbreed. You've got Angus there, who's kind of come back to form in that one game. So it would be interesting and really important to see him do that again. But yeah, I guess they're kind of it. But I feel like they mentioned it on the show this year. If you've gone by, you're scratching to get these guns in, and once you've got a gun, great, that's one of your spots gone. And then you try and build up that cash elsewhere to try and bring in another. This year, it's much trickier, I think, to try and bring in those guns, because it kind of costs you a lot more than what it normally would, because cash generation's so hard. So if you're bringing in, and I've got Manu in at the moment, and which may change, simply because by doing so, I'm cashing down to somebody that I'm not 100% on, and I really need to make sure that cash generation's still going as well. So, yeah, it's certainly tricky. If you're going up to a Heinz, maybe if you didn't have Cleary anymore, I think you need to have at least one of the Heinz Cleary SJ tier. But apart from that, I don't know. I think especially this week with so many cheapies, I think you've just got to jump on them when they're available, and make sure that cash rise is going, because you can always get one of those guns next week, because most of them are cashed at pretty much where they are, apart from maybe SJ, who's probably got a bit, he's probably as cheap as he will be for quite a while, so he's probably the one to jump on if you've got the chance. But apart from that, I don't know, maybe Manu tends to go well at fullback, so he might earn some cash, but again, yeah, some of these cheapies are probably going to earn some cash too, so hopefully they come good. What do you reckon?
No, I reckon that's pretty much spot on, mate. I think SJ at the moment, he's making a ton of cash for owners. He's got a pretty good break even. I think it's what is break even off the, yeah, there you go, 40 break even, averaging 58. So he should hit that and should do quite well coming off the back of that. He's probably not too much else that I'm looking at, particularly around guns to bring in. I think you're only looking at those handful of guns. Angus, I guess, is technically a pass gun, whether he gets back to gun status or not, or just a good mid-range cash cow. Who knows? So, yeah, probably no one else. I guess if you've got Damien Cook, if you're a Damien Cook owner, I guess he's a sell.
Yeah, for that money and whatever the hell's going on with them, yeah, I think maybe it's time to move on. If you want to hold on and maybe risk the chance that he keeps coming off the bench, you're more than welcome to do so. But that's a lot of cash to be sitting on a bench player. So, in a side that's looking pretty unfavourable at the moment, you really for those teams that are on the way out with their coaches, for example, you kind of want those really strong workhorses. Cook's one of those, but he's kept being benched in the meantime, so I don't know if you can. So there's plenty of other hooker options out there that'll get you maybe not quite the output that Cook's putting out, but there's a fairly easy like for like when you can go to a Grant or something, and I think you'll still have some change left as well. So.
Yeah.
If not, you've got a few others.
Even a Robson's going well. Robson's going really well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's another option. So both of these, I think, are cash down. So there's some cash generation for you.
All right, let's talk captains. Who are you captaining this week, and who should other people target as a captain this week?
I mean, the last few weeks I've been captaining Carrigan, just purely the matchups have certainly helped them. This week I'm kind of tossing up, I've also got McInnes, so I'm tossing up between them two at the moment. McInnes purely for the matchup against the Bunnies, which kind of we've asked and answered. Carrigan's got the Dolphins, which look, they're top of the table. You can't talk much else about them. Everyone keeps kind of referring to them as a good matchup, but they seem to be going well. Look, I think we need to revise that.
The one thing I know with Carrigan, and whenever Adam Reynolds isn't in that team and Carrigan takes on the captaincy armband for that side, his average is incredible. when Reynolds isn't in the team, I'm always very, very reluctant to go against Carrigan as captain. So I think he's a very good option. Obviously, Harry Grant's a very good option.
Yep, it's a good matchup as well.
And then Nicho Hynes is probably, you're talking about Cam McInnes there. If you've got Nicho Hynes against that Bunny side, Nicho could be going 100 here.
Yeah, I mean, look, it really comes down to what the Rabbitohs put up this week. Having no Latrell, it'll be definitely interesting to see how that team lineup looks without Latrell and without Ilias as well. So I think there's going to be quite a lot of pressure on Walker, let alone the coach, because there's a lot of names now starting to go missing. Murray's just going to be just tackle robot, basically. Poor bugger. I don't know. He's going to be pretty cactus by the end of the game. So even Murray might be one just purely based on just those base stats of just being in the middle. They need him in the middle, and their urgency and the pressure of them trying to at least get a win out of this is going to require Murray on the field as long as possible. They've been running him ragged, but he has been getting breaks. But yeah, you know, I have a feeling this week it's going to be pretty dire straits. So
yeah. All right. Hey,
what about yourself? Any other captaincy options that we haven't mentioned?
One more, I reckon we've got to talk about, and that's Drinkwater.
Okay. It'll be interesting matchup this week against Guffo. It'll be very, very interesting matchup.
But yeah, I think it's one that if you were looking to go really, really pottish in that position, particularly captain, all of that sort of stuff, I think Drinkwater would be one that people should consider. Ownership.
Well, just having him himself is fairly pottish in itself. It's always tricky to explain it in a way, but I mean, worst case scenario, the fact that you own Drinkwater, and if you choose not to captain him, unless you have him, and worst case, if Drinkwater scores a 70, for example, and your captain scores a 60, it's actually only the difference of 10 points at the end of the day. So I think for me especially, I've just never been one to captain wing fullbacks. It's such a volatile position where if it's just not their day, they just don't score that well. Whereas your captaincy option is kind of your bread and butter for you want the consistencies there. And I think quite a few people actually got burnt last week by not selecting some of these consistency guys. Ended up getting either duds or players who didn't quite fire as much as they had thought they did. That's why I prefer to stick to somebody in the middle like a Carrigan, a McInnes, Hynes, even in those higher scoring consistent roles. There's enough craziness going on. I'd prefer to be fairly safe with my captains. So that's just myself. What about you, mate?
Yeah, look, personally, I'll run Grant. That's probably what I will do, but could understand other people going for a spicy option like a Manu or a Drinkwater or something like that, just knowing that there's a chance that they come off and you move high up the ranks. Mate, I reckon we're done, though.
Yeah, no, I think that's about it, mate. I think whilst there was quite a few cheapies, there wasn't a whole lot out there apart from Talagi not getting named as the real shaky surprises this week. So, yeah, I think we're starting to get a few of the troops back and hopefully a few more next week.
Yeah, a couple of those big guns back next week would be very nice.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for that, mate. Hopefully coaches go well this week and there's not another round of carnage.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. So, fingers crossed.
All right, thanks for that, mate. Bye for now.